Good morning. Everyone's enjoying summer so far. Thank you. Who loves the heat? Hands up. Am I the only one? No. Yeah. It gets so cold. I see those memes where it's like, it's hot out. Slap. We've had 8 months of winter. No. Anyway, that's how I feel. Welcome. Welcome here. Pretty sure everyone knows me, so I'm just going to leave it at that. Okay, so I'm going to be very honest today. I mean, if you're not really honest, it's not helpful. So I'm going to be really honest. So join me, won't you? Last Tuesday, as of this last Tuesday, 5 days ago, I didn't have a message. Nope, had nothing. And I was trusting God because I've been thinking about this for like 2 weeks at the very least. And I'm like, okay, Lord, give me something. And then even Tuesday morning, I was thinking, okay, I don't have anything. Maybe I better call one of the elders and say sharing Sunday, which would have been fine. And we could probably all go home after Mike shared anyways, Michael. But Wednesday morning, I woke up. And I had my morning coffee in my favorite mug, and it sparked an entire message. So thank you, Lord, for that coffee and for this message. And yeah, when we think of cups, there's so many messages that could come out of there, right? You clean the outside, but the inside is dirty. Fill up my cup to overflowing, but we're not doing those today. So sorry if you were hoping for that. It's actually literally the message that is on this cup, which says it may not be easy, but it will be worth it. And that is kind of been my theme and my reminder for the last 2 years. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So shortly before Jesus was crucified, he was talking to his disciples. They were asking him questions, and he had been talking about a lot of parables. And basically, he was bringing it down to a simplified message. I'm going to uncover things for you so it's really clear. And so they were wondering, is this, you know, we follow you. Is this going to be easy? Is this an easy, awesome, good time? That's what Jesus said, right? No, that's not what he said. So if you have your Bibles along, or I guess these days, your little app on your phone, feel free to turn. I'm going to as well. John 16, verse 33. I'll be reading from, I opened up to it. That's pretty amazing. John 16:33. I'm reading from The Voice, just in case anyone's like, what is she reading from? That is the version. All right, so the message that Jesus gave directly applied to the disciples back then, but it also directly applies to us now. So let's read about it. John 16, verse 33, Jesus said, I have told you these things so that you will be whole and at peace. So good, we have the promise of peace, and I have found that, and we'll get into that. But in this world, you will be plagued with times of trouble, but you need not fear. I have triumphed over this corrupt world order. So what's it going to be like, Lord? Well, he promises us, yes, you can be whole and at peace, but you will be plagued with times of trouble. Sorry to burst anyone's bubble. That's part of it, right? That's part of life. I mean, Michael was even talking about it. Anyone who's going through a hard time, we will. As followers of Christ, as atheists, as whatever, you will have hard times. It's sort of a guarantee, but there is hope in it while we go through it. So may not be easy, but it will be worth it. So over the past 2 years, like I said, this has been my reminder and my theme. When I think about last year with the Grand Canyon Freedom Challenge, you know, I was reading that blog in between Christmas and New Year's, and it was just like God said, this is what you're doing, Sylvia. I was like, okay. And in that, there was two big challenges. even though, yes, I believed 100% God asked me to do this. Two major challenges came up. Fundraising. When I was fundraising initially, again, God said, I'm going to provide for you. This is, you know, do this. And yet, I planned this fundraiser and I'm doing it, and some people close to me were saying, maybe don't do this one and whatever. And I'm freaking out and I've got tons of stress and I'm like, Kate, Lord, this isn't going to work. It's not going to work. What are we going to do? And he's like, hey, daughter, have I ever let you down? No, he has not. And did he let me down? No, he did not. A lot of the fundraising, obviously, are from you amazing people. Thank you so very much. But the point of the matter is, too, I have this, it's not this easy thing necessarily, but when God has asked you to do something, he will provide, guaranteed. So the fundraising, you know, came up with over my goal of $6,500, which is amazing. And then with the training, it was 12, 13 weeks of training. And for those of you who know me, I do have osteoarthritis in my right knee. I think I might have it a little bit in my left as well. But that was something after I said yes to God, I was like, wait a second. I don't know if this will physically work. I did my first training hike, which was a walk. And my knee hurt really badly after. And I was like, did I mishear from God? And then I got these amazing hiking boots and anyways, went on and my knee didn't hurt again after that. And I knew, yes, this is what God has called me to do. But then I'm adding weight and I'm adding like 20, 30 pounds and now I'm going up and down and I wanted to quit sometimes. It wasn't always easy. I was putting physical burdens. Sometimes we feel these spiritual burdens and they're very real. But I was putting these physical burdens on me and, you know, kind of trudging through, and it wasn't always easy. But the entire thing was very worth it. Another example was this year. God, I felt very much like he was leading me to really study the Word, to really get into the meat and potatoes of what Christianity is, why we believe. Defending the faith, having these tools to be able to talk to people and have great big conversations. So that started with the Ravi group course here called Everyday Questions. And it was an amazing, amazing time. And there was a lot of, you know, my mind was opened up to thinking that I knew this much at least. Come on. I've been going to church my whole life. To finding out like I'm like scratching the surface. Okay, so what happened there is that I was taking this course, and because we were literally, a couple of you guys in the room were at the course, we were literally, you know, in this circle of people talking out these hard things. If you came across this situation, what would you do? What would you say? And everybody had a different answer and something to contribute. And it was a beautiful thing because what it did for me is my fear of having big conversations. I don't know if that's just growing up as a Mennonite or a polite Canadian or I don't know. But the fear of that was really leaving me. But then what came in right after it was this bizarre thing that all of a sudden I felt compelled to change the world and do it now. Like all of a sudden, okay, well, I have these things and these tools and I don't really have fear about talking to many people, I think, because we're talking and it's really good. But all of a sudden it was like, okay, this person in your life from a couple years ago, you better call them up and you better save them right now. You're the facilitator. You better be like the prime example. And so I took on myself. God did not put this on me. I took on this feeling and need to save the world and do it now. And it was very short-sighted. And I was very immature in that. And that's okay. God still loved me. And he kindly tapped me on the shoulder. And he said, hey, Sylvia, who's the Savior And I was like, it's not me. And I said, yeah, Lord, it's you. And then he said, so who saves anyone? He even asked, Sylvia, can you save even one soul? Can you save a soul? No. Oh my goodness, no. And oh my goodness, no. The weight fell off. That's not my job. That's not my job. That's his job. That's the Holy Spirit living in me, and that's his moving and his dealing and his doing. It's not me. My job is to walk with God and focus on Jesus. That's it. And when I realized that and I stopped being so short-sighted, it really freed me. And so even though that course wasn't easy and I was bawling before I had to feel like I had to call these people, wasn't easy, but the course was worth it, talking about these hard things. We're going to open up our Bibles to Hebrews 12. Oh, I didn't open it the first time. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. All right. So, since we stand surrounded by all those who have gone before, an enormous cloud of witnesses, let us drop every extra weight, every sin that clings to us and slackens our pace, and let us run with endurance the long race set before us. Just that passage alone is so revelational, because anything you do in this world, family life, your career, studying, friendships, your spiritual walk, with other people, all of it is an endurance race. I think about the Grand Canyon. I didn't just wake up and go with 60 pounds on my back. That probably wouldn't have worked. But I did the training 12 weeks. You know, it was an endurance thing. We keep reading on. I'll get back to that in a second. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Now stay focused on Jesus, who designed and perfected our faith. He endured the cross and ignored the shame of that death because he focused on joy, on the joy that was set before him. And now he is seated beside God on the throne, a place of honor. I think that sums this up. God, Jesus on earth, knew it wouldn't be easy, but he knew we would be worth it. And that's amazing. Verse 3, consider the life of the one who endured such personal attacks and hostility from sinners so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. So again, we are not promised easy. Jesus went through hardship, hostility from many people, from sinners, and yet he endured it because his focus was set on the joy before him and he knew it would be worth it. So we can take our prime example, obviously, from Jesus, who is holy and perfect, and say he knew it wouldn't be easy, but he knew it would be worth it, and then he wouldn't be alone. And we can do these things too. After I was done the group course with the Ravi, Ravi Zacharias course here, I was hungry, hungry, hungry for more. So I'm taking the online course. I'm almost done. I'm 10 weeks through of the 12 weeks. And through that, I've been learning so much, including conversational apologetics, and much less short-sighted and much more, this is a lifestyle. This is the long game. Jesus played the long game. And we can play the long game. In this course, I had two assignments, which as far as courses go, I think that's little. That's a light workload. But these assignments terrified me to death. two of the assignments, same assignment. Talk to somebody with a different worldview than you and just listen. Whoa. So first of all, I was feeling, okay, oh, okay, okay, know a lot of Christians, okay, what do I do here? What do I do here? So obviously I told God, Kate, I need to find somebody like that. And then I was like, okay, I think this person and I think this person. And right now I feel like I'm judging them, like, you are not a believer. But that's kind of the point of the course or this assignment. Okay, how do I go about this? We're going to say, I need to do this assignment to find a person with a different worldview so that you're not saying, hey, you're not a Christian, right? So I did, and they asked, you know, what do you mean by worldview? And I was like, oh, getting into the meat of it. Okay. You know, like your thoughts on God and how this world began and what's your purpose and afterlife, you know, those easy things, you know, your worldview. So I got the courage. I was petrified. Sean's like, oh, hon, this is going to be so good for you. It was so good for me. Yes, it was. So I thought of somebody and I thought, okay, I'm going to ask this person. And before it, I cried like crazy because I was so nervous. I was so scared. And I was trying to ask myself, why am I so scared? What is it? And a couple years before that, the last conversation I had had with a very dear friend of mine, we talked about deep things, finally, and she had a different worldview, and I had a different worldview, and it didn't become this clashing thing, but I left her house and then didn't speak to her for a year and a half, and I own that, and that was not good, and so it, like, ended our friendship, and I think it was this fear of, it's going to be bad. How can it be good? I'm going to insult someone or offend deeply, and then my name's going to get smeared and blah, 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 blah. It's all fear, right? So I just laid it out to God. I said, Lord, this feels impossible to me, literally impossible. Everybody else in my course is doing it. It's no problem, but this is an impossibility. Without you, I cannot do this. Very true. And so I just said, okay, Lord, help me. So as I'm like pressing the text, which we didn't do it over text, but just initially. Okay, Lord. Ugh. And anyways, first interview, had a great big conversation. I asked questions. She talked. Even though I was thinking sometimes, oh, I was just learning about this and I could really, maybe I could just tell her that and, you know, maybe I could give her that good defense and that good argument. Nope. This assignment was to listen. That's it. And let me tell you, God did a big thing in me. When I was talking to her, I would ask a question, and it was really interesting at this one point. I listened to it happen, but visually I could see it. So I asked, Kate, what do you think about this? And she said, well, I think this and this and this, and I really believe this, but then if I think more about it, then I'm not quite sure where I got that from, and actually I don't quite know. And by herself, it was totally cyclical. And I just listened. And I just thought, maybe she doesn't stand so firmly on that after all. And no judgment, and on to the next question. And listen. And I realized, and I'm realizing, that listening can change the world. Truly. Then I had to do the second conversation and it felt way easier. Like, I can do this. And what was really interesting is that both ladies, two different ladies, used to go to church, now don't. They don't like labels, which I agree. I don't really like labels either. Would call themselves agnostic. Maybe kind of, you know, on the atheistic side, but mostly agnostic. Not quite sure. And in these conversations, found out some very interesting things, what they believed hell to be and not to be and why God played into that, and just incredible. Listening to them say one thing and then say another, and just listening without needing to talk right away after and present something. And there is a time for that, by the way. Absolutely. But for this assignment, it was just listening, and I gained a lot of insight from it. I realized, too, that most often, sometimes people just need stark reality. They're on their deathbed. Hey, do you believe in Jesus? Do you want to know him as your personal savior and go meet him in like a couple hours? Sometimes it needs to happen right now, right? Absolutely. Not saying that there's not a place for that. A lot of times there might be moments where it happens over years. It happens with a friendship, with a cousin, with an aunt, with your son, with your daughter, with your friends. And it's conversational and it's relational. Because when I think about things that affected me greatly in my life with my faith, it was relational every time. Things that were transformational, that lasted. And so it's the long game, right? Having great big conversations and not always having to say something immediately. I'm learning that. So I also learned if anything, any change is going to happen, two things. One, it's going to be the Holy Spirit. Again, I'm not the Savior. Oh my goodness. Thank you, Jesus. And often, although it can be revelational, it can happen over time. So if we think about the story of Noah, okay, God didn't say, Noah, you need to build this boat tomorrow, then I'm going to wipe out humanity and everything's going to happen and get it done now. It happened. I looked it up. Nobody's quite sure. Somewhere between 50 and 100 years it took him to build the ark. But the point is it took years. And then he had to go get the animals. And then he had to bring in his family. But the point is God said, build a boat. And the very fact that it had never rained, and Noah said, okay. And every day he got the wood and he put it down. And it was this, each step was a step of faith that built his faith muscle further and further until finally God said, it is time. And he closed the door and the rain fell. It was long. It took time. And very interesting. What didn't the ark have? Two things. It did not have a sail and it did not have a rudder. The two things that you kind of need to direct and go a certain way. Noah didn't have that. He had to trust fully on God, but he had done all the steps up until that time so he could trust God. Sometimes we need to take that step, right? And realize, I don't know where I'm going, but God does. We don't need that rudder and that sail. But as we step out in faith, and the next day, and the next day, right? It builds, and it's beautiful. And what it also does is give people, give others in the body, the courage to step out too. When I think about this church family, just for a moment in these four walls, you know, it's much bigger, church is much bigger, but when I think about this church family, there's many instances I think of. I mean, immediately I look around and everybody has a story and it's awesome. And I would love to tell all of your stories right now. But for a small example, we think about Ruthie and Brian and their wonderful, amazing children. The cool thing is God didn't start by saying, you guys need to have six children. Right now, you need to take care of them as the best parents possible right in this moment. He didn't. They had to decide to have a baby first. And then they had another baby. And then the big thing of adoption, fostering, came to them. And God asked them and they said yes. And then it happened again and they said yes. But it was a building process. It didn't happen overnight. So if you're thinking, but if I give God my yes, oh, he's going to ask me to like jump over a mountain or something. It's not going to happen so quickly. Little steps of faith that he will give you the strength and courage and wherewithal to do every single time. So if we think about it what season of life are you in right now? Maybe more important question, what, if anything, is God asking of you? The great news is that, again, as we see other people have done it before us, we can be assured that we will not be let down, we will not be cast aside, we will not be alone. Constantly, God says, fear not, for I am with you. And it won't be easy, but it will be worth it. So, it's important to know. One of the main advantages of being a follower of Christ, obviously, other than having the Holy Spirit living in us, that's the best, that wins, obviously. But another advantage is what we've been sharing all this 2019. We literally painted it onto the wall. We are members of one another, right? When we think about the church, and now I'm talking about the church, any and all believers. When we think about the church, what are we? If we go to 1 Corinthians 12:12, always love that. 1 Corinthians 12:12. It says, just as a body is one whole made up of many different parts, and all the different parts comprise the one body, so it is with the anointed one. Different parts, different people. Think about the Christians in Egypt. We're still one body. Think about the Christians, that the church that's booming in China right now, even though they're being so persecuted. Think about all the other churches in our town. We are one body. We are. We are all one. And we are members of one another. And if you think about an actual body, think about when you get a virus. Let's say your throat's on fire, your lungs, you're coughing, you get a cold. What does your body do? The way God built it and intended it to. It gets those white blood cells, it multiplies them, and those white blood cells go and attack that virus. They band together, they go to the problem spot, and they help out to eradicate that virus. Not the part of the body, they don't eliminate the lungs. They eliminate the virus that is in the lungs so that the whole body can work as a whole the way God intended it, right? We are members of one another. So if we think that we, the world of believers, are one body, then when one of us is hurting, when one of us is struggling, when one of us is grieving, when one of us is having a hard time, just like our body, physically, we should flock to that spot to help, to surround, to uplift, to edify, to honor one another, to submit to one another, to encourage one another, to accept one another, to live in harmony with one another, carry one another's burdens. We are one body, and that is the picture that God, I believe, has for us. But more often than not, instead of the hurting, struggling person reaching out and saying, I need help. Can you pray for me? Please help me. What do? Ding. I'm good. Right? We put on a mask. Maybe we slowly fade away and stop coming to church. Maybe we just lie to ourselves and lie to others and whatever it is. Right? It's so very common. I'm not calling out anyone here. I'm saying, Sylvia, this is what we do. I mean, we've heard it probably many times. If you think about, there's, you know, I hate to say down in the States, but they just have these mega churches, right? It's true. We have some mega churches here in Canada, but anyways, you think about hearing these headlines. Big mega pastor gets caught in adultery. It's like, oh, and that leaves a sick taste in our mouth, right? And something in our stomach. And we're like, oh, that sucks. Boo. Shame on you. Well, what happened to reaching out when he had that initial attraction? What happened to saying, I need help? What happened to that admitting? It's hard, right? This past week, timeline doesn't matter. In the past 2 weeks, the week before this past week, some of you may know because I posted it on our own page. Anyways, I was grieving. I was grieving hard. It was 4 years since I had a miscarriage, and I was just having a really, really, really hard time with it. And I wasn't quite sure why. Year two and three weren't bad, but this was really hard for me. And it was so hard, I could barely speak it. And it was so hard, and I just thought, if I talk about this, I'm going to never stop crying. So I'm just not going to talk about it. And then because I couldn't control my own emotions, I tried controlling my family. You can ask them. I did. I was rude. And finally, I had the courage to say, I'm sorry. This is actually what I'm dealing with, and this is how I've been treating you. And that's not okay. And I had a good long cry about it. And what was amazing is the second I said it and realized it didn't have to hold me in bondage, but that I could cry about it, that I could let these feelings go, and I wasn't going to die, and I wasn't going to cry forever, then I could say it, and I could step out and stop controlling things. And I felt amazing warmth and love from you guys, and I thought, I'm just gonna post this little thing. And so I posted it on Maranatha's Facebook page, and you guys did not disappoint. You rose up. You bore, my pain. You honored me. You prayed for me. And I'm so grateful. So grateful for that. It didn't kill me. In fact, it brought me closer to many of you. And it brought me closer to my family. It's not easy being members of one another, but it is worth it. What happens so often is that the enemy tries to make us believe that certain sins, certain discrepancies, certain things are way worse than others. Right? And the horrible thing is, he's really good at his job and we believe him. Oh, at least I don't do that. Or I do this, and if anyone ever found out, I'd be ruined. And we believe it, and then we stuff it way deep down in there. If people only knew, blank, they wouldn't accept me. If people only knew I was attracted to a coworker, and yet I've been married for 20 years. If people only knew that I had that addiction to porn and it's so bad, if people only knew I questioned my faith and I said, I don't quite know if I believe in God right now because I can't feel him. If people only knew that, they wouldn't look at me the same. They wouldn't trust me. They wouldn't love me. They wouldn't listen. They would cast me out. Those are very real, vulnerable places to be. And yet, what is the truth is that it's the shame that is the enemy's trick, and the shame of don't tell anyone, gotta hide this, that's where that monster grows. And that's when you get affairs, and that's when you get big bad things. But the truth is, when we speak it out, it no longer has control over us. When we say, this is what I've been dealing with, and you have someone bring their arm around you, and even if they don't understand, I'm here. I'm not leaving. Just like God's here, and he's not leaving. I find it very interesting when we think about sins and the different weight that they have. And yet, I love the way Ravi Zacharias defines sin. He says, sin is a violation of purpose. That's it. Well, that changes everything. So sin is literally, even if it looks good, if you're not doing and walking with Jesus and doing his will, it's a sin. Whoa. So that means we're all on the same level. So that means no one's on a pedestal. So that means we're all here. We're all sinners, yet saved by amazing grace. And we all have these mistakes, and yet we all need grace every second, every breath. See, the closer you get to God, sometimes the closer you go, oh, yeah, I got some things to work on. You're like, hey, but I don't do this, Lord, and I don't do this, and I don't do this. And he's like, hey, see that thing in the back corner of your mind? And you're like, don't touch it. The more we get closer to him, we see it, and yet we realize every breath we need it. See, when you are holding on to something and you are judging yourself for it and you feel this is really bad and I'm going to judge myself for it, but I don't quite want to get rid of it, then anyone else who comes and shows their sin to you, that's what you're projecting onto them. Because you are judging yourself and feeling bad, you push that onto them. Oh, you do that? That's really bad. You need some help for that. Yeah, it's because we're feeling it. But when you feel the incredible grace and freedom that is in Jesus Christ, the beautiful love, that reckless love that we sang about, that encompasses you, when you know every breath, I need Jesus, every single one, and you feel that awesome grace, then that's what you give to people. You say, yep. And they're like, oh, but you're perfect. You're like, oh my goodness, no. No. I live by God's grace. And you can too. And we can do this together because we are members of one another. And we can share that. Like I said, this year, the church presented that, and I think it's a really good thing. And we have just enough time. We're talking about being members of one another. We're talking about being the church, being Jesus' bride, one body, and leaning on Jesus and helping each other. I'm going to take it even further and invite us to be members of one another right now. And this is an invitation. You can say, nope, I'm good. No problem. No problem at all. All of this, again, is time. This may not happen right now today. That's okay. That's okay. But I'm inviting you to be vulnerable and to build one another up and to pray for one another and to be members of one another. And that sounds like a very scary thing. When I open up, that's when I can be shot at. That's when I'm a target. But Jesus actually said, be armed with vulnerability. It is a beautiful thing, although hard. It's not easy, but it is worth it. And I know a lot of you can do it. In fact, I know all of you can do it because the last time I spoke, who was here the last time I spoke? Anyone? Oh, I got a couple little hands. At the end, I also asked you to share with someone that you weren't related to, which you guys did pretty darn good, why you believe in God. Duh, that's huge. That's a big step. That's scary territory. That's vulnerability. And you guys sat together and you shared. I have no idea what you shared. I'm just proud you did. I think it's awesome. I think that every time we step out, we gain that step of faith, that courage to do more. And I know how much love there is in this room. It's amazing. So There's no pressure. You guys are all incredible children to the living God. You carry immense value and worth. You are worthy of respect and being listened to. And it is not easy, but anyone, we're going to do just 10 minutes at the longest, unless you want to stay longer, unless you want to leave sooner. Is this easy enough for you? I'm going to encourage anyone who has anything they want prayed for, talk about, listen, learn from one another. I'm encouraging you to come up. There's not going to be prayer people. There's just going to be the body of Christ. We're going to pray for one another. We're just going to come together and realize we're not in this alone. This whole thing called life, we can be members of one another. So, Joel, if you can cue up the music. The scary thing is that there's no agenda. There's no way to do this that's one perfect way. But I encourage you, take that little step. It doesn't even need to be a step outside the boat onto water. It can be scooching over in the seat. Little step. Holy Spirit, I thank you so very much that you are here, that you love us, that you are a good Father, that we are your children, and that we are members of one another, that we are one body. And even though that means messy sometimes, and even though it's not always easy, in fact, you said in this world we will have trouble, you said we wouldn't do it alone. We have you, and we have everyone else as well. And so, Lord, I just pray for your Holy Spirit to move in this building, in Niverville, in all of the churches, in all of the believers' hearts. I pray for a move, Lord, that we would reach outside of these walls, but right now inside these walls, but that we would step out, that we would listen to one another, that we would edify one another, that we would build each other up, knowing there's no one on a pedestal. We all need you, Jesus. And you are right here for us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your power, your presence, your love, your unconditional love. It is beautiful and shakes the world. Thank you, Lord, for all of these people. And all God's people said, amen.